Hey everybody, so I'm sitting here with Don. Don, how's it going, bud?
Hello everybody, thanks Johan. Yeah, good thanks, and how are you?
Good. So we thought with this episode, seeing as we do run photographic safaris, we're going to chat a little bit about cameras, and I think it's something that a lot of people sometimes maybe think about a little bit too much, but since Don and myself recently bought new cameras of our own, which is the R6 and the R5, or the R6 II and the R5 II, we thought we'd kind of do a little bit of a comparison and just kind of have a chat and see what we like about the camera and maybe what we don't like about the camera.
Yeah.
So, Don, you used to shoot Nikon for all the years.
That's correct.
So why now the sudden move to Canon?
Yeah, so I think people would want like a very technical answer. The actual answer is just because at Wild Eye we've got some incredible Canon lenses.
Mm.
So I actually, and I mean the body's important, but I think what's more important than a body is a good lens in a big way. So I actually changed from my Nikon, which was a pretty entry-level mirrorless. It was a Z5 that I had, only the Z5 I. I know the Z5 III and things that are out now are much better than the Z5 that I had.
Yeah.
But so I just changed because of the lenses. And also I wanted something that had eye tracking. My Z5 didn't have any eye tracking. So I was trying to look for something that, you know, could pair well with the lenses that we've got available. And also something that has tracking, and then obviously also what was within my budget. And I just think the R6 II fitted to all of my criteria. It was, and I'm very happy with my purchase. I've obviously recently been to Kenya, which was my first big trip with that camera, and honestly so happy with the results. So love that camera. Yeah.
So what were the things that you looked for in the R6? Was it that, you know, the eye tracking being one of those things? Obviously budget, you know, that's something that, you know, that's one of the first things when people say, you know, what camera should I get? It's like me saying to you, well, what car should I get? It all just depends, you know, what you're using it for, what your budget is. Was there anything else in particular that you...
Yeah, sure. So it was the eye tracking was big for me, like we just discussed. But also I wanted something with quite a fast frame rate. And this one's got 40 frames per second, which is too much.
Yeah.
I mean, please, for everyone who listens, don't take 40 photos a second. They're all going to look exactly the same, and you're going to just leave yourself for so much editing. So I definitely haven't dialed it up to that. I think I leave it on high continuous, not high continuous plus. High continuous means I think it's about 27 shots per second, which is still a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's still a lot.
No, it's a lot.
So I'll use it. So that was one of my reasons. And then also, I mean, the R6 II performs pretty well in low light conditions as well, which is obviously with what we do. Early mornings, late afternoons, you want sort of a camera that operates pretty well with low light.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, we don't have to dig into the real sort of technical stuff that, you know, people can sort of Google a lot of the kind of all the technical things about the cameras. But I actually spoke to a guy yesterday, and he's still shooting with a D850, which is, I mean, it's still an amazing camera, right? It's still... it's got, you know, all the megapixels and stuff that you need. But I do feel, and he asked me, you know, would my photos improve if I had to get a mirrorless camera? And I think it's yes and no, because yes, you know, some things have made it a bit easier. The eye tracking definitely has made it easier, especially, you know, action scenes, birds in flight. Eye tracking has definitely helped. But if you still don't understand the basics, you know, if you still have... If your shutter speed's too slow or your exposure's not right, you're still going to mess it up. You know, you're not going to have a great image if you don't understand the basics. I think one of the things that I've loved most about the mirrorless camera is also the electronic viewfinder.
Mm.
So being able to, you know, when you adjust your exposure, you know, underexposing or overexposing, you can actually see it happening in your viewfinder, which, you know, in the past you kind of have to take a shot, okay, underexposed, take another shot, have a look. But then as the light changes, you know, you often do miss a lot more shots, I found that way, from an exposure point of view as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, that for me was the biggest way. I was sort of in two minds, you know, as when I bought my very first, you know, decent camera, which was that Nikon.
Mm.
I asked myself, listen, do I want to buy a good DSLR, or do I want to go into the new mirrorless route? And what switched or changed my mind to actually get the mirrorless was exactly that, the electronic viewfinder, because I thought to myself, okay, while trying to learn these different settings, it'll be beneficial for me to actually see the changes that I saw. You know, now I change my shutter speed. Let's see what happens to the aperture. Let's see. So, you know, that was a good way for me to learn how to use it while actually looking through the viewfinder.
Yeah.
But in essence, if you also think about it, if you use the old DSLR technology, it's actually going to force you to become a better photographer quicker because your mistakes will result in a bad image.
Yeah.
So you want to fine tune those settings a bit quicker, like you just said now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Johan, I want to ask you because, so I've got the R6 too. Obviously, you've got the more expensive R5 too, which the main difference will obviously be your megapixels is much better. So yours is a way better camera for cropping, which is something we as photographers do quite a bit. We crop our photos and the quality of your images will be quite a bit better.
Yeah.
Why did you go the R5 route?
Yeah, so it's funny. I was thinking, I was very close to move over to the Sony system, but the one thing was like the lenses, you know, like we have quite a few lenses to choose from here, whereas we don't have any Sony stuff. So one of the things I really wanted was the pre-capture.
Oh, yeah.
And then also the video capabilities of the R5 II or basically what the Sony's had. So when the R5 II came out with all of those new features, the R6 II, does it have pre-capture?
It has pre-capture now, from the two. So the two and the three now has pre-capture and pre-recording, which is also quite nice. Yeah.
Nice. So that was one of the reasons for me is to have that pre-capture. I mean, I don't use it for every single subject, but definitely for birds and flight. It really does make things a lot easier. The megapixels, you know, it's not a be all and end all, but I do like the it means you've got bigger files, so you have to get bigger cards. So, you know, there is a up and downside to that. But, you know, especially for me, you know, I also photograph quite a lot of sport as well with my kids and things. So, you know, being able to have like a lot of megapixels in there to kind of blow it up and have nice big prints of that, it was another reason for me. And also the R6 II wasn't out then, available then. So.
But am I right in saying the R5 II has got 8K video capability?
Yes.
Yeah, you see some.
I don't use the 8K. No.
Does it overheat your camera too much, or what does it do?
No, I just find it like it the files are so big that it just takes forever to load. I mean, the 4K for what I use it for, you know, for our website stuff and social media, you know, 4K for me is more than enough.
But 4K with a high frame rate, you can do it to 120 frames per second.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, so the R6 II. It's got 4K, but only with lower frame rates. So 60 frame rates, I think, max 4K. So I have to go to high definition for...
1080.
1080 for a high frame rate just.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's another shortage that the R6 is... Where the R5 definitely tops the R6 for sure.
Yeah. And it's... I suppose that kind of... It all comes down to, I mean, like these cameras change so frequently, you know. It's even the old, like the R5, the first version, it's not a bad camera. And I often say to people, like, you know, it all depends what you're using it for. Is it worth upgrading from the R5 1 to the 2? It depends what you're photographing.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of the people that, you know, if you're just photographing standard wildlife, things that are not moving very quickly, then probably not worth the upgrade. But if you're doing a lot of bird photography or you're doing a lot of videos, then the upgrade might be worth it.
Sure. And then, Jon, I remember we spoke about it earlier in office, end of last year, I think. For your R5, you've got, is it an extended battery pack that you've got? Or is it a battery pack?
Battery grip.
So battery grip, yes.
Extra battery, yeah.
It's not the one that has the fan, because some people, so that it can cool down when you... film in 4K.
Yeah.
Because does your camera, Mike, if I film in 4K for like a longer video, the camera gets really hot. Does yours do the same?
Yeah. So, I mean, for my video, I hardly ever film for more than like a couple of minutes at a time. And there's usually shorter clips, but I've had it in India, in the Pantanal, and I've never had a warning light come on that it's overheating. The problem with the fan is the battery grip with the fan is you don't have the shutter button and stuff if you turn into portrait.
Yes.
So that's the reason why I went for the battery grip, because I love turning the camera into portrait and all my buttons and dials are there. As the same way as if you had to have it in landscape orientation. So yeah, I think they've got three different battery grips that you can choose from. I think maybe, you know, if you're filming like long interviews and things like that, I could see how the fan, and it, maybe if the camera's in the sun and you're filming for half an hour, then it might overheat. But yeah, I haven't had any issues.
I guess that's mostly for like if you're videoing of a wedding or something. It's not so much in wildlife.
Yeah.
Because we very rarely will film for more than 5 minutes.
Very, very short clips.
I can't even imagine that I've ever taken a 5 minute video, especially in 4K. Yeah, so no, look, I think the best thing is that there's still obviously even better cameras within the Canon range. Like you can go to the R3, all those things. But I think the R5 II, the R6 III is R6 II as well, is such capable cameras. You know, they're light, they can do the job, their quality is really good. The eye tracking works incredibly well. Have you noticed, does yours pick up animal shapes quite easily?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think there's definitely been an improvement from an autofocusing system from the R6 1 to the 2, and then from the R5 1 to the 2. They've definitely improved that quite a bit. I think it's still not perfect. It does struggle with some individuals, and often sometimes with leopard, wild dogs, where the eyes are not as prominent. But I mean, look, it's still much better than having to move your focal point around onto the animal. I think that's only going to get better. But I mean, like you say, all these cameras, the R3s and the R1, like it's kind of, what are you doing with your photos? You know, are you just photographing, you know, 2 or 3 safaris a year? Are you making a living out of your photos? Because that will, you know, depend on what camera you're going to get. You don't want to have sort of all the gear and no idea, and then just kind of, just because you can afford it, there's a lot better options. And like I always say to people, whether you have a R6, R5, R1, a Sony, once you put the photo on the wall, people are not going to say it was taken with that camera. For sure. So it's a tool that you've got to your disposal, but you need to know how to work that tool and how to get the maximum out of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the other thing that's incredible at the moment is like both the R5 II and the R6 II have got incredible, you know, low light capabilities in terms of high ISOs. Mm. And now you're not scared to use high ISOs anymore because of Lightroom and the denoising that you can do these days. We're in incredible times now with technology and AI. People are so against AI, but in terms of photography, AI is incredible. And Lightroom especially has done so well with like I said, the denoising. I've taken photos where my ISO is like in the 20,000s, like 2700, I think, or something like that. It was quite high. And denoised it and it looks perfect. It's unbelievable. So now it gives you the confidence to, even after dark, take your camera out, get some nice photos, and get that ISO nice and high, and you can just fix it afterwards.
Absolutely. But I mean, the downside of it is like you're not really sacrificing a lot of weight with the cameras, and the cameras are still pretty big.
Yeah.
Especially like mine with a battery grip on it, it's still a bulky camera, right? Yeah. So, but you know, then people, like if you move into reduce weight and size, you could look at something like the Olympus system, which is great. But, you know, then you're sacrificing a lot of the low light capability because of the sensors and the Micro Four Thirds. You know, it does struggle to focus during low light. So it's all about compromises. You know, then you look at some of the Sony cameras, you look at the prices of some of them, and it's very expensive. So, like, I don't think there are bad cameras out there. It's all kind of the system that you feel like. I love the Canon system. I think it works really well, but you know, we have to know all the systems. So it's not like we're Canon shooters and we can't help someone with a Nikon or a Sony. You know, it's as our job, you know, we've used all of these cameras, and it, like we said, a lot of it is because we've got some of the lenses here in our rental department that we can make use of, which makes our decision a lot easier for which brand to use. But you know, you've got to be able to use all the different brands and kind of, as guides, you know, figure out if your clients are struggling with things. But for the clients and for people listening, it all just depends kind of what system you enjoy, what works for you. It's the same as a vehicle, right? You just have a kind of a certain brand that you enjoy because of their servicing or, you know, the look and feel of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like you said in the beginning of this podcast, what's more important than your which camera you choose is understanding how the settings work. Absolutely. Because you can have the best camera, but you can keep it on auto and you're just not going to get the quality of that camera. So, so it's, yeah, I think that's the important thing. And that's the benefit of having someone like a guide. If you're a new photographer, for example, and you've just bought yourself an R6 II, for example, and you're unfamiliar in how to use those shots, you know, it's so beneficial to have someone like you, Arnold, myself, out in the field with you to really, well, you know, expose what the camera's quality is to you, you know, to actually show you how capable that camera is of taking incredible photographs. And that's something that you could also find on YouTube, but it's going to take you much longer. And it's not seeing something on YouTube and actually doing it out in the field in the heat of the moment of that cheetah chasing that gazelle.
Yeah.
It's two different things.
Yeah.
So I think it's always beneficial to have a photo guide with you when you travel. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. And also, I mean, even like I chat to my clients quite a lot about this is, you know, what do you do between safaris? There's no use putting your camera in your cupboard and kind of 6 months later, dusting it off and then going on the next safari. It's similar to like someone that plays golf. You know, you're not going to go play a round of golf and then 6 months later, you know, not play anything. You kind of, you go to the driving range, go photograph your dogs or, you know, birds in the garden, just something, just to keep that muscle memory going, because it is quite a lot to kind of take in to understand. And if you don't use it often, you forget what to do. I mean, I had like last year, my last trip was in November and I had nothing until February. So I had like 3 months and I did have my camera in my cupboard, and like the first trip out is like, okay, how does this all sort of come together again?
How do I switch it on again?
Yeah, how does this, which is actually quite a nice feeling, to be honest, to kind of like just mentally have a bit of a break from it. But you know, for people wanting to go on safari, I think it's important to keep practicing.
Yeah, that's what I did, because obviously when I bought my R6 II, and since the day that I bought it, it was also about 5 months before I went on my first trip. So I was also like photographing my dog, photographing stuff from the garden, just to obviously test the camera, but also just remind myself how it works.
That's the way.
And then once you're on safari, it's easy and it's yeah, you can have fun.
Yeah. No,
perfect. Absolutely. Well, I think thanks, John. I think it's good. I think it's I think we're both quite happy with our cameras, and I think we try and get the best out of it. And we encourage people to do the same. So if you are considering getting an R6 II or 3 or an R5 II, it's they are incredible cameras, and you wouldn't go wrong buying them.
Absolutely. And even if it's not one of those, if you guys are looking at other options and you're not sure, get in touch with us. Maybe we can give you a hand and point you in the right direction. The most expensive is not always the best, so it's all kind of what you want to use it for. But yeah, get in touch with us and we'll gladly help you.
Perfect.
That's it from us. Donovan, have a good one. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. We'll catch you soon. Cheers.
Bye.